Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Matthew and Friends. I'm Susie Ward, Matthew's mother. If you're a new listener and aren't familiar with the Matthew books and Matthew's messages, I hope you will read our rather unusual story. It's on my site, www.matthewbooks.com. And also, there's a short version in my bio on this BBS radio site. In the synchronous ways that our universe works, over 3 years ago, Matthew led me to Cynthia Sloan, the beautiful soul who is our guest today. Cynthia is an extraordinarily gifted telepathic intermediary and a deep channel or transmedium for a highly evolved being named Elixir. Before I greet Cynthia, I'm going to give you the toll-free numbers to call so you can speak with her. In the United States, the number is 877-876-5227. In Canada, the number is 888-815-9756. In about half an hour, we'll take a break so that you can call in and speak with Cynthia. And please don't be shy about calling. And now, it's my great honor and joy to welcome one of Matthew's and my dearest and most respected friends. Cynthia, hi there, and
hi.
Thank you so much for being with us today.
Hi, Susie. My absolute honor and pleasure.
Ah, good. You know, I'm familiar, well, a bit, with the story of your spiritual path. And I know that it started in your childhood. You were aware then,
yes.
Or at least you learned that you were rather unique, not like the other children. Will you please tell us about your early experiences and then continue with them?
Yes, I'd love to. At the age of six, I was watching my father. He was addressing the whole family, and I was looking up at him. You know, at the age six, I was pretty short, and he was towering about 6'7". So I was looking up at him and looking down, and he was talking. I can't say that I was fully remember paying complete attention until I looked back, and what I saw visually, and I remember this as though it was yesterday, was an orchestra and a symphony of color moving around him, brilliant color, sacred geometry of so much communication and warmth and movement. And I was in awe. I just stood staring at all of this going on around him. I'm sure to his fascination, he thought I really was paying attention and closely involved with what was going on. But at the time, I remember saying to myself inwardly in my mind, what is that? And when I said that, I heard a response. And the response was coming literally from the consciousness of his expanded light body. And that dialogue continued from 6 years old until now. And the dialogue was very much of a teaching that not only did the energy around him communicate with me, and at 6 years old, I didn't question why or if this was okay. I simply resonated with it and was fascinated and continued asking questions. And I really thought at 6 years old that this happened for everybody, but that it was so natural, no one was talking about it, that it was just a part of everything. Because when I looked away from my father upon that first visual recognition in that moment, everything that I looked at, every plant, the dogs in the living room, and even the material from couches to walls had energy. It had different light, different structure, but it was all in movement. And I was fascinated and continue to be until this day. And so what I realized from 6 years old on was that as I asked a question, I would receive a response. And literally the guidance that was communicating with me through my intuition and through my feeling body, was teaching me. I was literally asking questions 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 years old and being guided. And this physical, what I call plane of demonstration, was being used as a classroom. The language and the dialogue, I call it a divine dialogue, from spirit was using this dimension and teaching me about spirit and physicality by guiding me to different examples. As an example, I'll give you reminding me to go and to listen to somebody talk, and I would follow it. There was no hesitation because there was no fear. It was all full of love, and there was no limitation. There was no need for me to withhold from what was being told to me. All of the outcomes upon the questions that I asked were positive, and I felt a deep warmth inside me and a deep validation and a growing understanding. Even without words at a young age, I knew what home felt like. And this felt not only like home, but it felt like a dialogue with home. So as an example, I would be told to go into a room and look at an individual's aura, which I would do. And then I was told to watch the aura and how it would shift and change, which it does, based upon the person's different opinions or even thought forms changing. So literally, I was guided and then told to watch either a person, a tree, a landscape, or what have you, all the physicality here. And then it was explained to me as it changed, why it was changing, what was happening, and what the outcome was. So with that, at 6 years old and into my teenage years, the first time I really, really got that this divine dialogue or expanded language, if you will, was one that not everybody, I saw in everybody's aura that they had access to it, but that not everybody was using it, was when I was in junior high school. That was really the first time it dawned on me, because I brought something up about spirit and dialogue and auras and energy, and clearly got a very different response than what was natural and normal to me and understood at that moment. Again, always inquiring with the spirit within me and in connection to the universe. You know, always having an inner dialogue, and the key was trust. See, I did not have humanity interrupting the flow of that divine dialogue and telling me to doubt it, to fear it, to discard it. I didn't share it. It was a dialogue that was parallel to the physical dialogue of those around me, meaning it was occurring at the same time, but very different languages. I was listening to both languages, but I found a trust and a comfort in the energetic language of what I saw visually and also felt, because that happened to align more to the person's heart when they were talking than what they were verbally saying. There was often a mismatched energy between those two, those two dialogues, between what a person was saying and what they were actually feeling. And so I learned to trust very early on and to pay close attention to the details. So that led me into a dialogue that I started sharing with individuals, just inspired to share with individuals different visuals that I was being offered, different information. I would always ask out of deep respect, spirit, if this information that I would feel was not for me, if it was to be shared with either the one before me or the person standing in front of me or others. And I was always guided, yes or no. Or I would feel the individual asking, and I would share with them, I have information for you. Or if they weren't even someone I knew, I wouldn't hesitate to walk up to them and say, you know, I'm so sorry, but I've really got a very strong intuition about something, and I think it's for you. Do you mind me sharing it? And I really have to say, more often than not, the person was not only delighted to hear what was coming through, but I would say more often than not as well, it validated either a life question or a relationship question or a health question, and it set them in motion one way or another. So it's been an amazing relationship with spirit and the universe and this physical dimension, because not since 6 years old on have I been able to ignore the fact that we are not the supreme beings, which humanity sometimes becomes very limited in their belief system in this universe, but that also that all kinds of forms exist on this plane of demonstration, with the ability, as I got older, of course, to see and to expand even more beings on the other side, and everything from extraterrestrials to loved ones passed over, and able to go on my own journeys and contact my own loved ones that passed on as well. So it's been a very validating experience by spirit, even in the face of everything humanity would ask us to not believe in.
Ah, Cynthia, you spoke several times of the intuition that came to you.
Mm-hmm.
Do you also hear voices?
Mm-hmm. Yes, the way that it's received is I'm completely open in a place of deep respect and love to the universe, with the ability to, I think that the ability to visually see and to trust my feeling body is a constant validation every moment of the expansion of where we are and what we're living in. And so I do hear voices, and when I'm doing, I offer readings 7 days a week, and I also do channelings, and I'm very much guided to wherever spirit, when my phone rings, I believe that it's the spirit of the individual calling me, and I show up for that call. So when I'm doing readings or communicating with someone, either in person or on the other side, I do hear the voices. I hear their voice, or I hear the loved one on the other side's voice. And I also hear and see. So I'm open visually to see the light body, which I call the hologram, and also to hear the consciousness of that hologram, and visually to see the communication going on, as well as, you know, I'm hesitating a bit because throughout the years, and I started doing readings from 11 years old, and I'm now 40, so it's been some time, it has very much expanded into being the individual that I'm communicating with. So it's not a generalization. It's an individual experience. If that individual is open to communicate with me on a spiritual level with their guides, either audibly where I hear the voices, some individuals are very open and their soul consciousness is communicating with me visually, also audibly. I can hear it at the same time, and I'm also being shown a moving picture or their physical makeup. It's a choreography, if you will, of a universal capacity, which means everything is available at all times. Depending upon the individual I'm sitting with, I'm available to access whatever they're willing on a soul level to offer me. Does that answer your question?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. And I can attest from the readings that you have given to me and to several members of my family and close friends, how accurate the information that you are receiving that is so very specifically for each of us is coming through. In some cases, it confirms what we already, you know, the factual things that have happened,
mm-hmm.
and gives us a higher perspective. And in addition to that, what you can see as what we would call future happenings,
mm-hmm.
Do transpire. So your readings are so immensely helpful in letting us understand why certain things have happened and in guiding us through the open windows and doors that, helping us recognize them and then guiding us through. And I think it's especially tender is the word that comes to mind, is that you say so frequently, spirit is inviting you.
Mm-hmm.
Never does it come across as, okay, this is what you're supposed to think or do.
Mm-hmm.
Never that. It is the same, well, as you say, it is always a sensation of love that you feel,
mm-hmm.
As you are connecting with, these almost countless souls who are providing you with the information for the individuals. And, it's always such an uplifting experience.
Thank you so much, Susie. You know, thank you so much for your kind words and sharing your definition and your perspective of your experience. I actually feel so humble and honored and blessed from 6 years old on, well, of course, even prior to that, but most definitely, I don't feel chosen. I feel that we are all very much connected to a grid system and a universal consciousness, and that separation is the illusion, and that any one of us at any time can tune in to our intuition and turn up the volume. And the way to do that is by trusting that within us, that intuition is coming to us, not with an agenda, but with a free-flowing offering. Whenever I've been guided, even from 6 years old on, it has been with such respect and such an offering. It has not been a demand. It has not been with force. It has been with flow. It has always been an invitation to look into the expanded versions of what exists here, even though the human eye does not take notice of that. It has been an explanation that our humanity and our capacity to love is as healing and powerful as what we find to be the most divine, and that the divinity lives within us as much so as the most beautiful sunset or the sound of children's laughter or the most beautiful, breathtaking moment. But that divinity is being mirrored, and we can even take notice of it because it lives within us. And I've learned so much, and I'm so grateful to be here and to be on this journey and to meet so many beautiful, breathtaking beings like yourself and all over the world. I get to meet them that are awakening to their magnificence, and that they remember they have a choice, even if in their lives they were not given that choice in their childhood or even in their adult relationships, if they didn't even know they could have choice. But now they're realizing that as much energy as we exhaust in humanity by reacting, that it leaves very little left for us to create with. And that now humanity is waking up to reacting in a different way that empowers individually and holistically and globally by coming together as one voice and as choice. And that's what I was taught from 6 years old on, is here is this information, but you, in a very gentle, extremely loving way, Cynthia, you choose which resonates. And so when I offer readings or channelings or anything that I'm gifted to be a part of and deeply honored, it's always an invitation for that individual. And I say to everyone, never replace your own truth with a reading from anyone. If it resonates, seek it out. There's a connection there for you, and make it your own. Because when you put your own soul signature, your own definition on it, then it truly becomes you claiming your power, and your power not over, but with.
Well, that puts it so beautifully. I tend to speak more prosaically, and I thank you. Cynthia, you mentioned that people are awakening now.
Mm-hmm.
To what do you ascribe this awakening?
When I say awakening, there's been words used by humanity like quickening, awakening, etc. And those words, as generalized as they're being used in one capacity or another, what I see in my definition of awakening is I speak with people from Japan with a translator, Switzerland, Australia, all over the world. I do phone sessions. And what I'm finding is there's an awakening, meaning a conscious recognition and a connection, regardless of where you are globally, and where you're from in your childhood or how you were brought up, that individuals are waking up, and I notice this as a huge, I would say, wave of consciousness, that people are calling me and they're communicating about they're feeling a calling, they're feeling an empowering, they're feeling it in their dream state. So I do believe there's a partial awakening by spirit of all different levels and of all different dimensions and forms, finally being able to reach humanity. And I say finally because I believe that spirit in all different forms has been attempting to answer the call of humanity for some time of Mother Earth, and humanity has not fully trusted in their dream state or their miracle moments, or they have an awakening or a revelation, and then they're very quick to return to their limitation of their fear the next day with the inability to hold on to it and carry it through. But what I'm saying to return to that is that now individuals are not only being able to hold on to that feeling or that inspiration in a dream, or that feeling they wake up in and it stays with them for weeks, but then they start meeting other individuals and dialoguing on what is fulfilling and empowering for them. And that is to move away from fear, to no longer react to fear, to judgment, and they're seeking different ways. And most individuals, I'd say 97% of the individuals I talk to all over the world and in different dialects and different countries, they all want to connect and make a difference with themselves, their family, and other people. And that's the awakening. They're moving away from a standard of making a living or of, let's say, being unhappy in that. And they're willing and desirous to seek out a fulfilling happiness that connects them to something much greater than what gave them security in the past. So it's very inspiring and it's very empowering to see all of this going on. At the same time, yourself, myself, and others all over the world are bearing witness to a tremendous amount of negativity, of falsehood, of fear, of a bombardment that is almost humanly impossible to ignore in movies and television and in all of the technology used to scramble the individual's thought forms or to bombard their clarity. But there is an awakening amongst the energy of humanity that is starting to override even that. Do you understand?
I do. And it's so encouraging. And I'm so glad that you explained it in such detail there. What I have heard, numerous times from Matthew, is simply we are remembering consciously what at soul level we have always known.
Mm, beautiful, yes.
And that, this is happening now, it's certainly not by chance, that the ascension pathway that Earth is on, out of, the limitations of third density, with all its polarity and duality, that, in Earth's, ascension pathway, she has reached, higher frequencies, higher vibrations, and that this new energy plane that we are in now is not only accelerating the pace of everything, which we can certainly recognize as time seeming to go by faster and faster. But also it is magnifying human traits, characteristics, and behavior. And so, and this is on both sides. I mean, for simplicity, the magnification of all that is good is apparent, and so is the magnification of what we think of as bad or negative or evil. And so we are still seeing those things that you mentioned, the things that the violence, the corruption and the lies and you know, the propaganda to try to keep us still bombarded with negativity. And it's no longer working, because everything that is good, that is being magnified, and allowing this awakening to go on, is much more powerful.
Yes, it's actually the tools that once very much held fear for humanity, that those tools, I would say that now they're considered tools, are being recognized as the very direction and focus that humanity needs to empower themselves in. So where once the fear stood as a limitation, now the fear actually is offering humanity not only an individual personal life place where you're afraid, go there to claim your empowerment. You have not claimed it yet there in that direction and place in your life, but also universally and worldly, that where much of humanity's focus is now is how to no longer be controlled by fear, negativity, and limitation, but how to override it.
Is there some guidance that you can give us so that we, you have said, you know, trust your intuition. Can you give us some guidance on how to do this, how to recognize what is coming in from soul level, and to distinguish that from, say, thought processes that still are on, this plane.
Yes, I understand. Distinguish between the past and the repetition of fear, et cetera, from, I would say, imposed patterns mentally or in our emotional body from our past or even present experience, from incoming messages in our intuition of spirit and guidance to claim our freedom. So what I would say to most individuals, but again, I can't generalize because it's more individual, but to share would be to say that most individuals in their infinite wisdom have a deep knowing, and if they tune into that knowing, if they allow themselves to be in truth with themselves, and I would say fall back into love with themselves, they would allow this dialogue that oftentimes when fear comes up, or to distinguish whether it's spirit or let's say your mental body, your emotional body reacting from the past, to most individuals know in their wisdom and recognize a repetitive pattern that they are once again met with fear, or they're met with an incoming message of fear, but a change in that fear. So one message is about do not move forward or do not claim this because the same fear will come through. The other message from spirit, most likely at times, and again, it's difficult to generalize, but would be that when your intuition from spirit is talking to you, you might also feel fear. It's not that the fear dissipates or goes away immediately. It will in long term. But that the fear is there based on a different choice, a different action, something being asked of you, or you're being invited to contemplate a different idea, even a different concept that you would not have thought were it a fear based on your past or negativity coming in. So you want to look for the details of, and most individuals in their infinite wisdom can recognize that this incoming message is fear-based, or it is an incoming message about either judgment or about my past, versus an incoming message about possibly judgment. Let's say there's incoming message about a judgment an individual just had, and that judgment message is about rising above it or over it, or how it reflects in the individual where to go next. So I want to just touch on that really quickly and say this physical world and the physical humans in it are a constant messaging system to one and each other. How we translate what happens to us and what happens with us is how much attention and focus we are giving to not withholding negativity from coming into our lives, but if we focus on the ability to transcend it, to transmute it, and to move beyond it, then we'll choose a different way. So I would say in a simplistic answer, when spirit is talking to you, you might still feel the fear, but there'll be a very different energy, possibly emotion, but most likely detail involved in that message, whether it's a different word or a different action or a whole different concept. That is where spirit is involved, and most definitely when you feel love over fear, spirit's involved.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for that. I would like to add something here.
Mm-hmm.
I have been told, and this goes way, way back. It was over 13 and a half years ago when my telepathic connection opened with Matthew.
Mm-hmm.
Especially now in this time of awakening in these higher energies, it is as if the lower entities are in their last gasp of trying to keep us down, so to speak, and unenlightened is I think clearer there, and so when we are opening to spirit, that the lower entities are also eager to get in there and influence us to stay down where we were. And so I was told to protect myself, to make myself safe from the lower entities trying to interrupt. And I was told just ask for protection of the Christ's light and demand that only the higher beings, the beings of light, could contact me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mean that Matthew explained it in that much detail,
mm-hmm.
but at any rate, for the first, probably 2 or 3 months of my daily sittings, I did an elaborate prayer, that I hesitated to even stop thinking I might have omitted a key word or something. And finally, when I started to do it, that one morning, Matthew said, "Mother, it's really not necessary. We know you want protection. It is there in your heart. So, you know, you can omit these long, elaborate prayers." So, I guess what I want to say is that feel that you are receiving the protection that you want. You know, it's fine to say, I am asking for the protection of the Christ of light. But trust that you have it after you ask for it. And that removes the layer of doubt, that is that really does make you vulnerable to the lower entities coming in. Since you would, if you don't agree with that, and that's fine if you don't, please clarify what I was saying so that, that I can give our listeners, or that you can give our listeners a more accurate,
Oh no, I most definitely believe that, what we focus on, we give life to. And so most definitely I agree with you. And in addition to that, I myself and share with others to move into a practice of sacredness, to create a practice of sacredness where the connection, not only to trust, but to protection, to abundance, to complete and ultimate health, to a relationship of mirroring of higher love, that is all possible. And that what we still focus on, that not only protection will be provided, but then beyond that, as a humanity, we really need to trust and be available to receive in our lives, not only create the space for, but the willingness to receive, not unlike an invited visitor and one to stay for that purpose, all the abundance, the good and the connection and the love and all that we seek. And so I agree with you that to ask for protection is then to be available to receive it and to trust that that is already in motion once you put it out there.
Thank you. And something that I want to add to what I was telling listeners about the wonderful effects of your readings that I have experienced personally, and I know from family members and friends that they have as well, is that what the readings did for us in addition to the enlightenment was give us a greater measure of trusting ourselves, what we were receiving consciously from allowing souls' messages to come through and trusting that what we were hearing intuitively was indeed accurate truth, and our connections with ourselves. So that has been an equally valuable benefit from the reading.
Well, thank you. Again, I'm so grateful for your feedback, and your description of it is actually beyond even my concept of what is being offered. Once a reading is given, I have no recollection nor memory of what transpired. I'm very much a vehicle for that moment and that individual, and then I do not retain or sustain what transpired for that individual. So to hear your feedback really fills my heart and my soul, and I thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm so glad I thought to tell you that. I'm not sure that I would hear a beep if there is a caller. So I'm just going to ask Seth or Don, I hope one of them is listening so that one or the other can pop in and let me know if somebody is holding to speak with you, Cynthia.
Sure.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Don? Seth? Well, I think that they must be busy with something else, and I don't have the mechanisms for the radio equipment to do this. So we're just going to proceed and hope that if there is a caller, that well, Cynthia, you know, this would be a wonderful time for you to please mention your website.
Oh, sure.
And if you'd like to give your phone number, although I believe it is there, but would you please do that?
Sure, thank you. I do have a website. It's www.cynthia.com. And the phone number, if you want to reach me directly, is 503-347-6766.
Thank you. And I did hear a beep. Is there a caller on the line?
Yes, there is.
Oh, hi there.
Hello.
What is your name, please?
My name is Vince. I'm out of California.
Hi, Vince. Would you like to speak with Cynthia?
Sure.
Okay. What would you like to say to her?
Well, I've been listening to you gals talk, and one of the main questions I have along my spiritual path right now and going into higher awakening is, in working with my angels, guides, guardians, masters, my higher self, really trying to understand and make that leap to get into the heart space and, you know, really have that heart-mind connection, that connection with spirit, towards more of an everyday action, getting that intuition going. How does one that's struggling in that area, or me, myself personally, how do I get deeper? What do they have to say to me about getting deeper into that heart space?
Okay. Hi, Vince. Thanks for your question. In answer to your question, to move into your heart space is a daily opportunity. And the way to address that opportunity is throughout the day, your mind, your mental capacity, not just yours, but on a humanity level, the mental capacity of your personal daily life can take over. It can not only take over, but addressing timelines, daily tasks, all of that can override any heart space interaction. So what I invite people to do is, if you're trying to integrate and merge your higher wisdom and your heart space in your daily life, one of the things to do is communication is the key. Communication is movement. Movement is life. And so throughout the day, start a dialogue with your heart out loud or to yourself in a written word or in any capacity that resonates with you. But throughout your day, to start dialoguing with your heart, even in your perception, that your physical perception on a mental level will be most likely on many, many occasions very different than your heart perception about the very same subject or interaction. So even if you are driving to a location because your mental body in that day asks that you meet a timeline, to start dialoguing with your heart space about what your heart takes notice of in the scenery, in the music, in the surroundings around you, but to really communicate with your heart center is to also be communicating with your guides, with your mastery, and with your, I would say, your divine voice. The more you communicate with it, the more comfortable and familiar you become with your heart communicating with you versus your mind or other incoming messages of negativity or that do not include your guides or that communication. Also, in addition to that, creativity, regardless of the venue, music, writing, reading, creating jewelry, building buildings, creativity energetically is at a higher frequency and rate of speed, and it can also put you in an altered state, much like meditation or any other avenues. But creativity is also a way to interact with spirit and your heart center. But most importantly, I said earlier, what you focus on, you give life and form to. To include your heart space more in your daily life is literally to include your heart more in your daily life and dialogue with it. That's my answer to that.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Vince, I want to thank you for your question. I think that your question and Cynthia's answer applies to every soul on earth. And I think that so many of us are right there where you are, Vince. And I would just like to interject something here. I have been receiving messages from God for a book to which I'm contributing with two other souls. And I just want to read something that God said. And this is it. Your heart, the seat of your soul, knows the truth. As you read, let this truth ring loud and clear.
That's beautiful.
Well,
so you see how appropriate your question is, Vince, and how appropriate your answer is, Cynthia, with what's going on in my life right now.
Yes. And also, Vince, when you're seated in your car, you're seated in your home, not only in addition to the most beautiful words that God spoke to you, Susie, but in addition to that, that you trust your own dialogue with your heart to be also God speaking directly to you. You can ask for inspiration to be received through your heart center. You can ask for ideas. You can ask for different degrees of meditation or a focus to be given to you. But I invite everyone who's listening and those who might in the future, before you open a book and you read it, in addition to reading it, ask your own heart center what will come forth through this relationship between you and this divine book, and that that book has that to offer to you. And so your relationship with the divinity of that book will also give to you whatever you're available to receive prior to opening it.
Yeah, and that's the reason I asked the question, because I've been getting the, you're already a teacher, the answers are within, and I'm like, okay, help me with this going within process, because...
Well, I often say to people, you're the living book. And so what I invite you to do is turn the pages of your own soul, and the way to do that is to really give your soul a platform, to give it an opportunity to be experienced by you. And one of the things that will help that to be, to manifest for you, will be to not only create an, I say, a sacred appointment with your soul and your heart. As an example, 7 p.m. once a week, you will, once every Thursday, you will show up and sit down, and you will be moving into your heart center. You will even if you have to create the visual where there's an elevator in your mind, and you get into it, and you press the heart floor, and the elevator doors open and you walk out into that heart space, that then you're in that heart space and you're giving that heart space a platform for you to experience.
Very good. Yeah, because I have the ability to take people home.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm thinking, well, why is this going within so hard?
Well, you can with others. That means that it's a mirror for you of what's possible within you.
Okay, I thank both of you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you both. Cynthia, this is something that I've been wondering about. I have my own experience, because I've been receiving letters and emails, for well, about 7 years or so, from people who have read the books and Matthew's messages. And I'm wondering about your experience in what people are asking about, why they contact you. What is it that they want to know? Have you noticed changes in people's interests, well, from the age of 6.
Well,
we don't have to go back that far.
No, let's not.
But just say in the last 10 years or so, because there has been so much going on in our world, in the past decade.
You know, I would love to answer that. And what I would say first to that is that 10 years ago, metaphysics, spirituality, divinity, duality, all that we're talking about on this show and many others and the divine blessed book that your words have a beautiful platform to be a part of. All of that was behind the scenes and behind closed doors. Now it is a daily dialogue. It is talked about in supermarket lines. It is talked about on television and on in magazines and headlines. I mean, that level of consciousness is now a part of instead of separate from. I'm finding that in the last 10 years, not only that's transpired, but in addition to it, people are very much looking to connect with others that are like-minded, but in a way that creates foundations, in a way that creates community, in a way that creates connection that is good for all, not just for one. That each individuals are looking to, not unlike Vince, reach out and help other individuals even before they know why and how, what it is that they're doing. But they're showing up for a calling in a way that it speaks about trust, that the action speaks louder than even their contemplation of it, because the action, what I find in most individuals that are calling me from around the world, they're being called to take action individually and globally in ways that they don't even understand yet. So they're calling me to have some understanding and to get words to apply to what they're already doing. And that I'm finding is an outstanding and very different way than 10 years ago. And I heard there's a beep, so I would like...
There is. Hello, someone.
Hello, my name is Kim.
Hi, Kim.
Hi. I was told, and I think many people have this ability, that I have a healing touch, a healing ability. And how can one increase that ability through mind or vibration?
Mm-hmm. Hi, Kim. Thanks for calling. Healing ability, if you're being told that, then it is most definitely spirit calling out to you. And probably you've felt that or contemplated that at one time or another in your life or been attracted to healers or the healing facet. What I have to say to you is, again, in your daily life, you become the energetic tool of the experience that others reflect to you in a mirror. So one of the ways to do that is to most definitely get to know the healing energy that moves through you and beyond you by really taking your hands and rubbing them together, creating a circuitry of heat and energy. And then to begin really daily, if not more often the better, applying the heat and the vibration of your hands to your own body. When doing so, ask the energy to be revealed to you, either in its consciousness, meaning you mentally hear it or see it, or in your feeling body. You feel it heating up. You feel it moving to all the healing places in your body that you need, and you experience the healing for yourself, because by doing so, then you start expanding your knowledge of what you offer, and then you also start building a foundation of understanding why others are experiencing it as well. So I invite you to use your own hands and your own communication as a tool, with your own body as the instrument, to reveal to you what it is that you have that others are speaking about, because they're speaking about it to you so that you can have the healing in your own life as well.
Okay. Okay, that was very thorough, so that's what I'll work on.
Okay,
thank you.
Thank you, Kim and Cynthia. I have to rush a moment here to mention that on October 31st, Alfred Weber will be back. We ran out of time when he was my guest a month or so ago. Well, a couple of months ago. And so he's coming back to talk about what he and the others are doing to pave the way for a cooperative government between us here on Earth and our extraterrestrial family. And he'll also give us an update on the Citizens War Crimes Tribunal. And now, Cynthia, can you please tell listeners again how they can contact you?
Oh, most definitely. Thank you, Susie. The website is www.CynthiaSloan.com. Also, my phone number to reach me directly is 503-347-6766.
Thank you. And now there is just time for me to thank you for being on today. I've loved having you. Thank you so much for sharing all of your wisdom and your guidance and your love.
Thank you, Susie. I absolutely adore you, and I so respect. I'm honored to be on this earth at the same time you are and to know you. And I look so forward to seeing you again. And thank you for not only giving this a platform for our exchange, but for everyone else's exchange. It is priceless, and I am so grateful to be a part of it. Thank you.
Oh, you are so welcome. And Matthew wants me to hug you for him. So I'm doing it verbally, and he's hoping you're feeling it physically.
I am feeling it. Thank you, Matthew.
Good. And to you and to all our listeners, love and peace from Matthew and me. And so that's it for today, and I'll see you 4 weeks from today. Bye.